Pope's only started writing about social issues at the end of the 19th century, no?
Yes.
Before that, what happened? I mean, didn't the popes take any interest in social issues, or were there other channels?
Okay. I think the common perception is that the encyclicals or social issues were not dealt by the church until Leo XIII. But actually, from the very beginning of the history of the church, we have the church being concerned about social causes and social issues. So if we actually look at the fathers of the church, for example, John Chrysostom speaks about the role of charity and the need for especially the upper classes to be concerned about the peasants and to be concerned about the working classes. And that goes through the entire history of the church. And of course, we have St. Thomas Aquinas, who begins to systematize a little bit more of what it means, the whole role of justice and the virtue of justice and the relationship of the Christian with regards to the virtue of justice. So little by little, the church begins to systematize its teaching on social justice, as well as the Holy Fathers begin to write several letters throughout the history, especially in the 18th and 17th century, dealing with particular issues in particular regions of the world. But what changes is that after the Industrial Revolution, society itself changes so radically. Problems of the workers is increased, especially with the migration from the fields and so on into the cities, into the factories, and basically causing new problems.
So was this realization that the church needed to address the problem of social issues in a new way that inspired Pope Leo XIII to express his concern regarding the working class with the encyclical Rerum Novarum, right?
The church begins to see that it needs to address this problem in a new way. And so we have especially Leo XIII concerned about the situation of the workers, who also at that time begin to turn more to the communist groups, who at that time seems to be the ones that really are trying to reach out to the working class. And the church is seen as distant and not really involved in the life of the workers and more with the industrialists and so on. Leo immediately perceives this. And so he begins to think about a social encyclical that somehow will deal with the working problem and somehow also bring the worker classes, and especially the unions and so on, into the church.
So what does he do? He surrounds himself with members of the hierarchy, like cardinals, who were knowledgeable in matters regarding social justice. For example, Cardinal Manning from England, who was instrumental in settling the London dock strike in 1889.
Yes.
And I think there was a German cardinal involved
Kettler,
as well. Because they were already knowledgeable. Tapping into their knowledge on social justice.
Yes.
Is that right?
Correct. In the 19th century, there's several movements within the hierarchy, especially in Germany and in France and the United States, as well as especially in England, that are already creating study groups or are creating small communities of workers where they gather together, usually with priests and so on, to deal with what the scriptures have to say to the social problems. And so that's how some of the bishops also become more conscious of the problems out there. So they begin to organize also movements within their own diocese. The most famous one, of course, is in the Diocese of Mainz in Germany, Kettler, who really organizes study groups precisely to start looking at what does the church have to say to the social issues and what can the church offer that. And in one sense, they're very practical groups because it's not just theoretical, but it's, okay, how can we transform the working world, basically. And that's where you start seeing letters, for example, from Kettler addressing the workers in his own diocese, giving them principles and so on.
So if I understand correctly, it all took place from the outside in. That's to say, when the Holy See got to know about what was happening in the local churches, the dialogue began.
And it's actually the bishops that begin to write to the Vatican asking them, we need to address this issue, which is now quite a serious issue, and we're losing the workers. And this is the call precisely that Leo XIII hears, as well as the theologians here in Rome.
Was his encyclical unpopular at the time? It must have been a bit of a bombshell, no, within society.
It's a new encyclical. It's something that had not been seen in a systematic way that only addresses the issues of industrialization, the relationship between labor and capital, and so on. So it was something completely new. And actually, it was very well received, especially in secular circles. So workers' circles really felt that the church was reaching out to them, that they were finally being listened to. more conservative groups within the church had a little bit more difficulty because there were several movements to kind of go back to the old order. But in general, the encyclical received great reviews in secular newspapers, especially in the United States and in France. So in general, I think it was a good reception of the encyclical.
We're talking 1891, when this encyclical Rerum Novarum, Literary of New Things, was released. You mentioned communism. At the time, communism wasn't as we know it today. It was something in the making, wasn't it?
Yes.
There were ideas being bandied about, that sort of thing. Is that correct?
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, I mean, there were several socialist movements. By this time, of course, we don't even have the Russian Revolution and so on, but the ideas are already out there. And so especially within the workers, there are several movements that also were like anarchist movements here in Italy, as well as other parts of Europe, that were trying to give an answer to the social questions of justice and so on, and basing themselves on the writings of Marx and Engels and so on, trying to address this. And they were winning a lot of people, especially through the unions and different workers' organizations.
This was something that was happening across most of Europe, no? So how did this affect the church at a parish level?
Parish priests are aware of this. And so you still see a lot of concern, especially a lot of writings during this time, being concerned about this. And of course, the main concern is the atheism that is there and that is kind of being basically taught within these groups. That was the biggest concern. And somehow that they're losing these workers instead of joining the different organizations that the church had at that time, which would be a little bit the beginnings of Catholic Action and so on.
So it did have a political impact.
It did have a definitely political impact,
and,
yes.
And it's generally accepted to be the founding document of Christian democracy, no?
Correct, yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. Well, I mean, Rerum Novarum is still very beginning encyclical, and you still see a lot of reflection of the vision of society of the ancient church. So it does tend to be a little paternalistic. And by that sense, I mean, it tends to call upon the state and it tends to call upon industrialists to take care of the poor, to take care of the workers, as opposed to asking the workers or seeing the workers, as John Paul II will say in Laborem Exertium, as subjects, people that can actually transform their own workplace and they are active participants in the transformation of society. We don't see that in Rerum Novarum. It's still more of a patronistic way in the sense is the upper classes taking care of the multitudes. And this is a big issue that will be dealt throughout those early encyclicals. What is our vision or the church's vision or the hierarchy's vision of the people? And it's at this early stage, and I would say before Vatican II, it is a vision of the multitude. And the multitude is being influenced, I would say, by different currents that somehow are taking them away from the church. And so there's this concern, a paternalistic concern on the part of the hierarchy, as well as high people in society. So the first encyclicals and the first movements, especially in Germany, like Kettler and so on, are trying to say we, most composed of royalty, that we are, that's our responsibility, our social responsibility to take care of the workers. So the encyclical reflects that. So the main task is given to the state, who is to basically take care of the workers. And the church's mission is to teach the values, keep reminding the state to take care of the workers. It's not until much, much later, and you could say until Vatican II, basically, although we already start seeing that in Pius XII in his Christmas radio messages, and we begin to see that in John the 23rd's writings, that the worker himself or herself is a subject. Somebody who actually has something to say and is called to be an active member. And that will not be explicit until John Paul II in Laborem Exertium, where he says workers are subjects, people that can transform their society.
So one can say that it broke down barriers between the church and workers, this encyclical in a sense, which I think is symbolized in the tomb of Leo XIII, Prince St. John Lateran, which has lots of different elements. And one of the elements is this worker, which is unusual, no?
Yes, quite. But again, I mean, I think it was important for Leo to show the solidarity that the church had with the working world and the issues that the workers were going through.
You've been listening to a professor of Catholic social teaching at the Pontifical University of St. Thomas here in Rome, more popularly referred to as the Angelicum. He's Dominican Father Alejandro Crosthwaite. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks so much for listening.